Praise the Lord that there is a higher rock than we are. Isn't that, that is marvelous. That there is a rock that is higher than I. I would like to greet you in the name of that rock. Jesus. Jesus is our rock on which we can stand. The rock that will never leave us. The rock that is harder and that is the foundation, the best foundation ever. Praise the Lord that He has given us a solid rock on which we can stand in circumstances that are not good and good, but that this rock is always there. This morning when we walked up to the church building, I thought, well, we're going to gather again here and look into God's Word and have fellowship and so on, and it's good. I'm excited for that. What difference would it make if we knew, if we had maybe received a notification or something, that this is your last time you're going to gather here? From here on, it's going to be without permission. What difference would that make in us? Just a thought that came across my mind. I think it would make a huge difference. The difference of knowing what it's worth to call out the name of the Lord. The difference of looking more at the value. We get so used, at least I get used to it, of going to church and listening to God's Word and going to Bible studies, prayer meetings, and so on. And it's all good. It's great. I enjoy it. But from time to time, I think we need to remind us, what if this was taken away from us? What if we knew that any moment someone could come in here and say, you're all under arrest because you gathered without permission? It's happening today. It's happening. We have a great privilege. A great privilege to come together in the name of Jesus, above all names, that has the greatest power ever, on which we can stand, that solid rock. I greet you in His name. Today, we want to look at Mother's Day. I'm going to focus a little bit more on the mothers, on the ladies, I guess. Since today is Mother's Day, we're going to take the time and say thank you to our mothers and our wives, that they are the mothers to our children. And I think it's a great opportunity on a Mother's Day to look at it and just take the time to remember our moms and to thank them as well. But before I go into the message, I'd like to share some thoughts on personal, on mothers and so on. But before I do that, let's read Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. This is where it says, my son, hear the instructions of your father. That's the first thing that he says. My son, hear the instructions of your father. Many times we think those are instructions, they're no good. But here it says, hear the instructions of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. That speaks very loudly to the children today. And to us too, as adults, how we respect our father and mother. If we still have our parents, that we can hear on their instructions and not forsake what our mothers have taught us. And towards the end of the message, we'll look a little bit more on what mothers teach their children and the effective way. But some of my thoughts as I was preparing the message on Mother's Day, about what mothers are and how precious they are, how precious the mothers are, the wives of the house. There's a number of things I'd like to lift up, but I want to say there's a ton more. We're all here because a mother brought me and you to life. That's the first reason we're here, is because our mom. And why do we walk? It's because our mom taught us, right? Our moms teach us to walk. And then another thought came to mind. When we know to walk, we say, she can't walk. We think we get better at it than she can. She's the one that taught us. They're the ones that teach us how to talk, how to pronounce, and so on. Goes the list, what they teach us. If it wasn't for our mother, we wouldn't be here. In the world, I hear a lot of disgusting things, and the world uses the mother's word as a cuss word and as a word of disgust. But that is not why we're here. The mothers are a precious thing. It's a gift of God. God has created the mother and put us in their place in the home. The mother has a heart that is created by God. In that place that the mother has in the home, my experience says it can't be replaced with anything. The place of the mother. And I'll go into a little bit of more details here in just a little bit. The mother can't be replaced with anything, for she has the heart of a mother, totally different from the father, totally different from us men. We as men are get after it and get it done. When we deal with children, we deal with them a total different way than the mother deals with them. I have a question. What would a house be without a mother? What would a house be without a mother? It'd just be a simple house, right? Now, if there's a mother in the house, it becomes a home. She turns it into a home. You can give a mother anything that goes into the home and she'll turn it into anything else. You bring her groceries and she'll make a nice meal. You bring me groceries, I don't know what to do with it. Some of it. She's my wife is teaching me something. But a mother turns a house into a home, and that is precious. Where you go in, where you walk into the house and it's just, oh, this is home. Have you ever walked into a house where there's just men living? It looks pretty interesting. It looks pretty interesting. No flowers, no nothing, nothing on the wall. Maybe a gun here or there or something like that, but nothing like that. It looks interesting. It looks interesting when men live together. Two of my uncles used to live together. And so I remember some of that. Either it was all in a mess, and my aunts had to come back and clean up the house for them. But once it was clean, they'd be so careful that they wouldn't, get anything because the house was going to be messy. They would eat out a whole lot because they didn't want to do the dishes. And it's just one thing after another. I thought it was pretty crazy with a man in the house when there's no woman in there, when there's not a mom. The house without a mom is just a house. But you bring a mother in, you bring a woman in, it becomes a home. It becomes where you want to be. The mother fills the house with love. Now, there's a negative side too on the mothers, where if they don't do their duties, that it's a bitter home. You don't want to be there. But in general, the heart that God has given a woman is the heart of a mother. And we'll look at that into Scripture in a little bit. The mother is the heart of the home. I think that's the point. The mother is the heart of the home. Without the mother, there is no home. Nothing attracts you to home if your wife is not there or if your mother's not there, even the children. When I babysit our children, they can do it for an hour or two, and then they start asking for mom. Me too. I start asking, where's my wife at? Like, this is not home. This is not complete. The heart of the house is the mother. She's a very, very important gift from God. That is, to be there for her husband and to be there for their children, for their needs, to fill with love and so on. And I could have just made a long list of things that a mother does. A mother has the opportunity to teach her children from when they're small to what they're going to become. And we're going to look at one of the things at the very end, too. A mother seems to have every solution for every problem in the home. For example, food, laundry, and cleaning the house, and so on it goes. When I was preparing, thinking about Mother's Day and what a mother does, I was putting my place into the mother's shoes. And I thought, my wife doesn't give me the duty of preparing a meal very often, and luckily she doesn't, because we'd have pizza pretty often. But if she did, let's just say, well, maybe the question would be here on the men. How often do we as men prepare the meal and say, you can go and do something else. You can go and water your flowers or whatever. I'll take care of the meal. Maybe sometimes. But let's just put that into how many times they do it. Let's say 3 times a day, a full meal. Let's say a snack in between the meals. Let's say doing laundry about 2-3 weeks, two times a week, maybe 3 times a week. Depends on how many times the husband gets into a mess and wants new dry clothes and so on. Let's just say do that in general. If I had the responsibility to do the meals 3 times a day, 7 days a week, I think it would wear me out. I just couldn't do it. And that is also a very, very good gift that God has given the woman. I think if I had the responsibility of doing the meals, I think McDonald's and Pizza Hut would have a membership to sign up, because I'd be a very good customer there. That's what men do when the mom is not home. I recently spoke to a man. His wife had gone out to on a trip, and so he was babysitting, and he said, no, I want to see what it feels like to be a mom. I want to do the work of the mom. And finally, when those 3 days were over, he said, I'm ready to get out of here. His children said, they had some snacks, and they went to the fridge. Did mom leave anything for us? And they went like, well, until they had all of that up, and then he's like, the children come and ask the dad, what are we going to eat? We're hungry. I don't know. We'll call Pizza Hut. We'll go get pick something up. And I think that's would be reality for us. Maybe we would learn, but I don't know about that. The main point: a mother can take the place of all others in the home, but her place no one else can take. Maybe for a moment, but not in the long run. Mothers are a very, very important gift and a very precious gift that we have, and that I think we take for granted, that our children take for granted. Where we as husbands maybe hear our children say, Mom, this food is not good, or where's this or where's that? And they've been working all day. We take that for granted, what our wives do. Another thing I was thinking about, going shopping. How many of us men go shopping? We're straight into the grocery store and get the bottle of milk and maybe the butter and the cereal, and we're out. And then you get home, hey, there's a whole list that we need. Oh, I didn't know. Or I forgot. But they'll take time. The mother takes time to get the supplies for the home. It's very interesting. One more thought, and then we'll go into God's Word. How many of us men like to grill outside? Yeah? Okay, me too. But you know how I like to do it? I stand at the grill. I'm ready for the meat. They come out with the meat. It's all prepared. Go and put it on the grill. And then later on, and I've rebuked my wife for doing this. Later on, when we're at the table, we eat the steaks, whatever we prepared. Oh, these are so good. You did some good barbecue. Yeah, right. I flipped the pork chops. That's all I did. And I came to realization on that. And that's terrible of us men. The mother, our wives, has put hours of work into the meal. We go in there and do the handiwork, and then we get the glory. Let's thank our wives for all the hard work that they put in the house. And today I want us to take the opportunity and the courage to thank our wives and our moms too. All right, so let's look into God's word and see. We're going to look at a couple of mothers, and we could have looked at some different ones, but I thought that this was interesting of how a mother acts, of what a mother's heart is in different circumstances of their children and so on. First one, we're going to look in Genesis chapter 21. We find a mother that was in great trouble with her son, or her son was in greater trouble according to how she reacts. This is Hagar, the maidservant of Sarah, the wife to Abraham. And the story, I'll just probably do a little overview on this story of Abraham and Sarah. They God had promised them that they were going to be a great nation and that they were going to have a lot of children as the stars on the heavens. And so they got impatient, and so one day Sarah comes, and you know we know the story. So Sarah comes and says to Abraham, "Take my maidservant and have children through her, that I may have children through her." And so that was a very unwise decision that she had made, that got her into trouble, that got Hagar into trouble, and that just created a lot of trouble. But later on, they had to live with the circumstances, and so did this mother. So whenever Hagar had her son Ishmael, the time came where her maidservant looked down on her, and then she was troubled because now she was supposed to be her servant, now she was looking down on her, and so she got troubled. And then later on, Sarah conceived and had the son Isaac. But then here came the problem where Ishmael would look down onto the son Isaac, and where Sarah said, "This lady needs to get out of the house, and we can't live here. He's not to be an heir of my house, but that's supposed to be Isaac." But then here in chapter 21, verse 16, this is where she thinks they ran out of water, they ran out of food, and she's in the desert, middle of nowhere. Then she went, in verse 16, "Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, 'Let me not see the death of the boy.' So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept." I'll read the other verses here in a little bit. So this mother had a very deep heart for her child. She had her child there and thought, "He's going to have to die." And let's think about the circumstances she was in. She had her son Ishmael there, no water, no food, and he's just going to starve to death. I was thinking, have we ever experienced that? And I think the answer is no. I do think too how terrible it would be. Like your children would cry out for food or for water, and you just say, "We're out." And would we react? I think we would react the same thing, same way. We would not want to watch our children die because of hunger and thirst. But that's what this mother does. She goes, but she cries out to God. She knew the God of Abraham. And then we read in verse 17. Well, the last part of verse 16, and says, "She sat the opposite of him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven and said to her, 'What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is.'" And then he says, "Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation." But the circumstances she was in is where she had a broken heart. is that heart that we see in her that she did not want for her son to perish. And I think that's how a mother feels sometimes too, where everything goes wrong and there's just maybe they have a sick child and they have a deep heart for their child to get better and they want him to live. And we'll see a couple of more like that. We read in the next one, we read in Exodus chapter 2, just the next book, Exodus chapter 2. And there in verse 3, I want to read verse 3 here in a little bit. Here we read about the birth of Moses and how his mother protected him, how his mother protected him from the hand of the king that had given the order that all the male children should be killed. And so here it comes, where in verse 1, let me just read verse 1 through verse 3. And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. So here, the mother of the baby Moses hid him for 3 months, but she knew that if he wasn't going to hide him, if she wasn't going to protect him, he was going to be killed, because that was the order that the government or the king had given. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes and for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it and lad, and laid it in the reeds by the river banks. So we think about Moses. Right, we read about Moses, how he was a prophet and how he did all of these marvelous works for God, how he led the children of Israel out of Egypt and so on, all of these wonders that he did, and how he experienced the 10 plagues that came on Egypt and so on, a lot of stuff that we can read about him. But in the first place, it was his mother who saved him so that he would not, so that the king didn't have the right to, or that he couldn't kill him, because it was an order. So in the first place, it was the mother's protection that brought Moses where he was. The mother's heart of protection for her child. That it is the love of the mother to protect her child. The mother has the heart of protection for her child. I think this teaches us another thing. For example, I don't know if any of you have ever worked with cattle. I have. And so therefore God has taught me something there too of a mother's love. If a cow has a calf, the cow can be the most gentle cow, never would have trouble with anger. Just wait until she has a calf. She'll attack you if she thinks that her calf is in danger. And that just tells me that God has put it in nature. The nature teaches us the mother love, to protect her young ones, to protect her children. The heart of a mother is a heart of protection for her children. Now we'll look at two mothers in 1 Kings chapter 3. And here we find one mother that was a evil mother, and the other was a very good mother. It tells us that she yearned with compassion for her son. So here, King Solomon is the king here, and it came to pass when two women, they lived together and they both had a baby, and so it says that they start arguing about one had died and that she had laid on her baby and so on. But then in verse 26 of 1 Kings chapter 3, maybe I should start in verse 24. So they have this argument about whose baby it is, and then King Solomon, he says, then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to one and the other to and half to the other. So this is what the king says. Cut it in half, give them one, give a half to each one of them and let them go. With that, only that sword, with only what Solomon did there, it was revealed who was the mother. And then it says in verse 26, then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. That is the key there. She had a deep burning love for her child, and she did not want to see her child dead. And the other didn't really care. And she said, oh my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. Here we see the difference in these two mothers. The one that did not want her child killed, and if she couldn't have it, she didn't want him dead. Then instead of doing that, give it to the other mother, because she had the heart of her son that she didn't want him to be dead. That is the heart of the mother. And then later on, they marvel at what the king had done with this encounter with these two women. This story tells us how the heart of a mother is. The heart of a mother, how she is, how she yearns for her child. Another, we want to look at another in Matthew chapter 2. And this is a very sad story that happened. Matthew chapter 2. This was already a prophecy from Jeremiah. But here in Matthew chapter 2, this is where the king Herod had given the order to kill all of the male children 2 years and under, because the wise man had brought the news to him that there was a newborn king, that this little child Jesus was born. And so this king Herod was afraid that if this is a king, he's probably going to take away my kingdom someday. And so, and then it says in verse 16 through 18, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth to put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem in all its district for 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then it says in verse 17, then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. I thought this tragic, this is a very sad moment that happened here with all these children. Now, let's put ourselves in their shoes. For example, the mothers. It doesn't tell us here that the fathers mourn, but the mothers, because they have a heart for their children. Surely their father mourned too, but the mothers, they have a deep heart for their children. But just imagine our government knowing that your child was the Messiah. Let's say you're the child you're holding in your hand, or used to hold in your hand, was to become a king. And not just, they didn't get Jesus that was going to be the king. They got all the other ones but Jesus. Let's put it on in a different way. That there's a child born in Seminole that's going to be the king in someday. And then the government, just to make sure that he gets him, he comes and takes your child out of your hand and kills him. Just because the king is afraid, I'm going to lose my kingdom. He comes after your child. What a terrible moment these people went through. Imagine that for a moment. Your child being in danger. My child being in danger. It says they can't comfort him with nothing, refusing to be comforted, because there are no more. They're all dead. Now we'll look at another one, a mother that was full of hope in Matthew chapter 15. This was not a mother that had a very good reputation or so on. Let's just say this is, in verse 22 we start off. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." So this lady is from Canaan. And so the disciples say, "Send her away. Send her away. We don't want to hear her anymore." But then Jesus also says, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Until Jesus says that she's a dog. She says that we should not cast the bread before the dogs. But she says, and she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dog eat the crumbs which are fallen from the master's table." With the faith of this mother, she didn't come and ask for a lot of positions and so on. She wanted her daughter to be healed because she was possessed. And her prayer was answered. In that very moment, her daughter was healed in that very hour. A mother full of hope, seeing the Messiah, and did not give up until her daughter was healed. Now we'll look at another one. A mother that preached the gospel in her home. We find that in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. This is the mother and the grandmother to Timothy. And this is what Paul tells Timothy about the mother and the grandmother. "When I call in remembrance the genuine faith that is in you." So here he says, the faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. So this is where it starts. And I want to encourage our mothers today to do what these ladies did. These mothers lived out their faith with their children. Paul says, this genuine faith was already in your grandmother and in your mother, and therefore it was in him. Timothy, in other words, was a fruit of the mother and the grandmother. If the mothers of this young Timothy would have had given him all other stuff, let him into the world, we probably wouldn't read about a Timothy. Probably wouldn't be there. But because of the ministry of the mother in the home, we find this here. And then we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, where Paul says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Knowing from whom you have learned them. Therefore, he should continue in the things. Not continue in the things that he did not know or he wasn't sure of. But he says, therefore, you ought to do the things. And then in the next verse he says, "For you have been raised with the word of God from child on." And that is the ministry of one of the ministries of a mother too. I want to encourage all the mothers to do that. To bring up our children with God's word. If you want to see your son being a missionary or being at work for God, raise him with his word. Timothy is the fruit of his mother. What they had planted, what they had sowed, now was they were reaping. We can sow anything into our children. but that we will reap, and maybe they will reap. Let's be careful. I want to encourage us as parents, let's be careful what we do with our children. And children, be careful what you do with your parents. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. Proverbs 1 verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instructions of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." Even if you think there's just a bunch of rules, do not forsake the law of your mother. I wish all of our mothers a happy Mother's Day and a great blessing today and on. Amen. Can we stand to pray?